And it is just about 27 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday morning, a Transcendent Tuesday, not just any Tuesday. Transcendent Tuesday is a day we tend to rise above all the small stuff. And we also have competent help joining us, a little counseling session with Dr. Don Clark. And we got a lot to cover today. Connecting old and new. We've talked from time to time, Don, about how we should be reestablishing lifestyles the way we had 100 years ago, 150 years ago. And we even talked about some ways we might consider doing that. This Dr. McCullough article now and the accompanying article seem to indicate that one of the problems we face is processed and ultra-processed foods. Habit for addictive? Food is addictive? What?
Oh, yes. We have two articles. One is on food addictions, and the other one's the McCullough article. And some of this we talked about last week, but we can cover some new things that are talked about in the McCullough article on actually having to go back to the older ways as opposed to the new ways. You know, there's been a increase because of our modern lifestyle. There's been an increase in the rates of diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and autoimmune disease. And all of these can be traced back to the modern food, processed food, and the oils that we're consuming, because we were told that seed oils were a good thing, and they're good for your heart, they're good for your brain. And while a little bit of omega-6 is good for your heart, good for your brain, but not in the quantities that we're consuming them.
We were also told that natural fats were bad for you. Don't eat that stuff. It's animal fat.
We are now finding out that, you know, that wasn't correct. As a matter of fact, it's the natural fats that are good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And these highly refined oils that you get from seeds like corn, soy, canola oil.
Sesame oils in there. I was surprised to see those included.
Yeah, sesame. I mean, any type of seed oil is going to be very high in linoleic acid, and linoleic acid is kind of the problem with those oils, not to mention that you may also get glyphosate depending on, what type of oil it is. And so you have that going on. Matter of fact, linoleic acid is an omega-6 acid, fatty acid. And so the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fats in most people's diet is like 14 to 25 to 1, which is not good for you. And mm-hmm. the reason why it's not good for you is because the omega-6, like the linoleic acid, as we talked about last time, has two pathways. One of the pathways leads to inflammation, and it's the inflammation that has been stimulating these diseases and, causing the heart disease, for example. Heart disease, as well as cancer, as we talked about last time, is an inflammatory disease. I mean, it's not that you have too much cholesterol in your blood, for example, that is causing the heart disease. It's because you have too much inflammation in your system, and that's pitting the insides of your blood vessels, and then your body says, oh, I need to make cholesterol to cover the damage that we have on our blood vessels. And so your body naturally produces the cholesterol. So taking cholesterol reducing drugs makes absolutely no sense from the point of view that you still have the injury that is being carried on because you have too much inflammation in your body. So how do you reduce this inflammation? Well, one, you get your omega-6 to omega-3 ratio more in a reasonable proportion. And you do that by eliminating, first of all, the seed oil, the linoleic acid that you're consuming. And even the linoleic acids in fatty acid is in, products that we eat because they're made, any product, processed product that you eat that has linoleic acid, linoleic fatty acid in it, for example, or seed oils, made with canola or made with the corn oil or whatever, you're going to have a high concentration of linoleic acid. And if you do, then you probably have inflammation.
Mercola makes the point, and this is very interesting. I'll just quote from this part of his article. Diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and autoimmune disorders have become so common that people now see them as unavoidable consequences of aging. Instead of questioning what changed, society has accepted this disease as the norm. This is normal. And we've had several generations suffering from this now. We forget what life really was once.
Well, I can guarantee you that Moses did not have heart disease, that he did not have autoimmune disease. He did not have diabetes, as well as most of the Israelites, for that matter, because we went from, as we said at the beginning, we went from animal fat, for example, to these seed oils. And therein lies the problem. So let's get rid of the seed oils in our diet, which means that we have to go back to making stuff ourselves.
And we have to go back to eating animals.
And eating animals, eating animal fat. Tallow, for example, is a much better fat than, to fry in. Not that, fried goods is all that great for you, but if you insist on having fried foods, then fry your foods in tallow, which is animal fat, as opposed to peanut oil or some of these other seed
I have
oils,
read that the coconut oil is good and just plain butter is good. I mean, I'm not talking margarine here, but butter,
real butter. Real butter.
That's animal fat.
And naturally grazed cows that are grazing on grass, for example, as opposed to being fed corn, because corn, there's going to be more linoleic acid, fatty acid in the milk if you feed your cows corn, for example. Just let them graze on grass. And one of the best grass to let your cows graze on is actually Bermuda, which we have a lot of here in Texas. But be that as it may, raise your cows in a natural way, raise your chickens in a natural way. Make sure that your chickens are, they're out in the field and not in a big pen somewhere, which they'll, you buy eggs, for example, and if it says free range, that just means that they're in the cage. They're not in a cage. It does not mean that they're out, in the field. They got the terminology for the proper egg chicken is pasture raised. So they got to be out in the pasture. If it says free range, chicken, you're not 100% guaranteed that those aren't in these big chicken.
You're
farms.
Asking for not only cultural changes, making waves in the culture, but also in the economy. This sounds to me like, somehow government has to be involved in educating us, if nothing else, about the right way to eat, the right way to raise foods, the right way instead of a pretty green lawn in front, have a garden, for example. I mean, the Make America Health Again, this whole thing that RFK Jr. is doing, do you like that direction?
Very much. he's definitely on the right direction. He's been, kind of championing better health for a long time, and he sees the dangers in these things. And it seems like to me that he's done a lot of research in the areas, and, you know, people call him anti-vaxxer. He's not an anti-vaxxer. He's just, you know, let's do the research on the vaccine to make sure it's safe and we don't wind up, you know, killing people like we did with the COVID vaccine. So he wants to just go back to sensible science and, you know, a more natural lifestyle. Yeah, in Europe, as we talked about before, won't import our grain, won't import, you know, our food goods, not because they have something against us. They have something against the product, and the product is contaminated with, you know, chemicals, ag chemicals, and one of the major chemicals is glyphosate. The way we farm on these mega farms. It used to be we had smaller farms, and in each, you know, in communities, you'd have your farmer's market, and a lot of roads around us are called FM. You know, we live on an FM road, a farm to market road. And, you know, that road used to lead to a farmer's market, which was the local farmers would bring their goods. So whether it be beef or whether it be milk, whether it be, you know, grain or whatever it happened to be, it was raised locally and you could buy it locally. And some communities around the country, you know, continue to do this, as opposed to the mega farms where you have millions of acres of corn being grown and you have cows being, you know, produced on these mega farms. You've got chickens being produced in these, you know, thousands of chickens in this one huge building, which they have to feed them antibiotics to keep them healthy or healthy enough to raise so that they can then slaughter. They give them hormones to boost the growth rate. And so you got all this stuff going on, whereas the Europeans say, you know, we're going to use natural fertilizers. We're going to put cow manure on our fields. Our fields are small. And yes, it's going to stink for a while, but we can put up with it because the end product is so much healthier for you than the way we're doing it in the States.
Bigger is not better, as it turns out. And that's where the economics comes in. And I'm not sure that that's surmountable in the modern age. I mean, this may just be the end of us. There was a movement that was getting some media attention a few years ago. It was called the slow food movement. And one of the features of that was communities having a communal garden where everybody worked a little bit and everybody harvested a little bit, kind of like a co-op, except it was coming out of the ground.
We have one of our daughters and grandkids and son-in-law. They live in Cleveland. And if you go around some of the older areas in Cleveland, you'll see these patches of land that are community gardens. And people can go and rent, you know, a section of the land and garden as in the olden times. Mm-hmm. So some of that is coming back, which is a good thing. But, you know, we have changed our lifestyle so much. It used to be that people lived on farms because the farm was your sustaining, your ability to sustain, you know, life was that you were living on farms. But nowadays, we live in these planned communities where you got a postage stamp backyard. And while you could do postage stamp gardening pretty successfully, because we did that out in California when we lived there, it doesn't entice people to spend a lot of time gardening. And our modern lifestyle is rush. You know, we got to, you know, take the kids here or there. So you go to work and then you pick up the kids and you got to take them to soccer. And, OK, let's go get a hamburger at McDonald's or wherever. And so you're not cooking the foods and you don't know what's in, you know, the product that you're buying. All you know is that you have convenience and at least you're no longer hungry anymore, which kind of leads us to our second topic, which is food addictions. These ingredients in our food, especially things like chips, for example, or snacks, are designed to be addictive.
Comfort foods, pasta.
Comfort foods.
Yeah.
Comfort foods. They were the food industry was taken over essentially by the tobacco industry. And one of the things that the tobacco industry did really well was have people addicted to cigarettes, for example. And so they took that knowledge and they moved it over into the food industry. And lo and behold, they've increased the addiction rate of even a simple potato chip. You know, if you add sugar and the right types of fat, to a potato chip, for example, it makes it more addictive because sugar lights up areas of the brain, which are dopamine receptors, and it's the feel good hormone. And so you're eating this food, and then it becomes comfort food. And so you'll be sitting in front of the television, and your brain will say, "Oh, I want some comfort food." So you reach in the cupboard, and instead of picking up a healthy, apple or a banana or something, you go and you get potato chips or your corn chips or whatever it happens to be. And these are laden with not only the linoleic acid that we spoke of earlier, but they also have too much sugar. So you're getting too much carbohydrates, which also throws your system out and, pushes you more into diabetes, for example.
If you look at the ingredients, it's kind of alarming.
It is alarming. So one of the things that you can do is look at the labels. Another thing that you can do that you don't really realize how much sugar is in the white stuff, like white flour and breads, for example, cereals, snacks, how much sugar is really in there. So to overcome some of this addiction, like any addiction, right? What do you have to do? You have to avoid. You have to get accountability. So you try to get an accountability partner. And if you're married, it would be your spouse, for example.
That would do it for me. Yep.
It could be, and they would be good at saying, are you really sure you want to eat that? Or maybe they'll even, get those things out of the house. But bread, pasta, these days, even rice, those type of things convert very, very rapidly into sugar, which increases the sugar concentration of the blood, which of course then leads to obesity and binge eating.
You're talking carbohydrates, aren't you?
Carbohydrates. Now, yes, some of them are complex, some of them are not so complex. White bread, for example, just goes into your bloodstream pretty quickly as sugar. It gets converted pretty quickly as rice does and some of these other things. Now, if you put oil on some of this stuff, it happens to slow down that conversion process. But still, if you're having a problem, if you find yourself being obese or overweight, then you've got to avoid those things, because as long as you keep the sugar concentration up in your blood, your body is going to say, I'm not going to burn fat. And burning fat is the way you get thinner. You have to burn fat, which means that you have to put your body into ketosis. And hence the keto diet came along to help you achieve that, which was basically they called it kind of a caveman diet. You don't have to go that far. You just have to go to a Mediterranean diet and a balanced diet of cutting out those things, cutting out the breads, the rice, the pastas, any type of sugar, even carrots, cutting out the carrots.
Carrots have, not really.
Sugar in it. Substituting those things, substituting broccoli, for example, salad. Oh, gee, eat your greens.
And waiting to hear the word kale.
And no, I'm not going to say kale.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not a big fan of kale, but if you like kale, go for it.
Yeah. I mean,
any green leafy vegetable will do. Summer squash and zucchini are great substitutes for some of these things.
How about fruits if they're sweet? I mean, are apples bad because they have sugar?
If you're trying to lose weight, yeah, you got to stay off the fruits, unfortunately, until you lose the weight that you're trying to get to. Now, the other thing you can do to help you lose weight is increase your protein. And yes, you can take protein supplements, for example. You can make protein shakes, but don't make the protein shakes with milk, because milk has lactose in it, which is a sugar. So you have to, you know, make it with water or put it into something else. But increase your protein, increase healthy fats, using virgin olive oil, for example. It's a little deceiving because it's, even though the bottle says 100% virgin olive oil, it may not be. And so you've got to find some. The best is to go organic products and find organic olive oil, for example, which I find at my local health food store. Eat eggs in the morning. Eat, like I said, get good pasture-raised chickens that lay eggs, because they're high in omega-3s as opposed to omega-6, which we talked about before. And then eat fish. Eat a lot of fish. Salmon is a great fish to eat.
Halibut. How about shellfish? Scallops,
shellfish are okay. Shrimp, if you like shrimp, I like shrimp and scallops and things like that. Fish is sometimes, but wild caught. I mean, wild. Mm-hmm. Don't go with this farm raised stuff. I mean, you can get farm raised catfish and farm raised salmon, but that doesn't have the same food quality as the wild.
Nor does it taste as good, I found. I always look for the wild caught fish.
It doesn't have the flavor that the wild. And again, it's the same thing. You know, if you're growing vegetables and you're doing it the organic way, that is, you're putting organic compost, or you're putting like chicken manure, for example, in your garden to grow things, you'll find that the vegetables taste amazing. You know, when you were growing up, you may not have liked the vegetables. Well, you know, our vegetables that are mass produced don't have much flavor. But if you go to Europe and eat the vegetables there, it says, man, I've never tasted a green bean like this before. And that's because they're doing things more natural. So try to find more natural foods. Stick with the green stuff. If you're trying to lose weight, like I said, cut out any possible source of simple sugars, like your fruits, like your milk, like your, like I said, the breads and that type of stuff, carrots, and then go for substitute, you know, broccoli and things. Now, we found that you can take zucchini and string it. There's these little hand crank machines that you can string your zucchini and make like a pasta with zucchini. And if you like, spaghetti sauce and stuff like that, then you can make up a meat sauce or your spaghetti and meatballs. Instead of using spaghetti, pasta spaghetti, use zucchini and, do things like that. And you'll find that it won't be long before you get into ketosis with that type of diet, the Mediterranean diet. There's a reason why, you know, sometimes you go to Europe and the Europeans look thinner than we are. Well, it's what they eat and the quality of food that they eat,
or what they don't eat.
Yeah, or what they don't eat. They're not eating a lot of linoleic acid, fatty acid that we, you know, talked about before. The other thing that they're doing is they're walking. You know, if you're in a big city, you're walking quite a bit. You're walking to the train station, you're walking to the bus or whatever, mainly trains, and you're doing a lot of walking. We don't do a lot of walking. We are a sedentary society. We got our cars, we hop in our cars, and away we go. And we're not doing a lot of walking. One thing I like about, you know, having a vineyard is I'm walking.
Would you avoid canned goods generally?
It depends on, you know, it depends on what was in the can. if it was a natural, you know, type of product, like green beans or something, I probably wouldn't avoid them. But it's better to get the fresh. The best thing you can do when you go to the grocery store is stay around the outside of the aisles. You know, don't go in to the aisles, because going in, you've got your cereals packed with sugar and everything. But if you're staying around the perimeter of the grocery stores, you've got you know, of course, you have your fruits and vegetables, but you have your vegetables, you've got your meats, and, you know, those type of things.
Speaking of meat, I've seen videos of produced meat roasts and things going through a machine that injects them. It is like a row of a dozen needles that goes into a roast, and it injects it with something, whether it's color or sugar or flavoring. But you've got to be sure that doesn't happen, because that's perverting it. I think you're getting wholesome beef.
It's this processed, ultra-processed food. I mean, everything. You can't, you know, you got to really, if the best thing is if you could find, you know, local farm, farm-raised beef, for example, unadulterated, not given antibiotics and other things to stimulate its growth or to keep it healthy. But natural farm-raised products are the best thing. And if you do these things, and if you have high blood pressure, you'll see that your blood pressure will be coming down. You see that you'll be losing weight, and you'll be feeling a lot better. The energy level will skyrocket.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, and we'll cover it again, because there's so much to hit on this. Food is a drug? Well, kind of it is, and there's more thunder, Don. You better duck your head over there.
Yes, it's raining. It's raining, definitely.
I mentioned Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments. The Creation Moments website is creationmoments.com, and there you will find a library full of scientific information that supports and explains and enables you to even teach, if you want, the biblical story of creation. It's a good, healthy place to visit online, creationmoments.com. They should be ready with their new website. It was going to be April 20th. Apparently, it's been delayed, because I think the previous website's still there. But keep in touch with them. You'll find them very useful and very interesting, creationmoments.com. Don, thanks very much for sticking with us through the thunder and the donder and the blitzen. And we'll see you next week, okay?
Very good. Yes, y'all have a blessed week.
Bye-bye.
Hold on.